For I am an all-consuming fire, declares the Lord. All-consuming. When Moses stood before me, when I was in the bush, he saw that the bush was on fire, and yet it did not burn. It did not decrease, but the glory, my glory in it, was accentuated. He knew he was on holy ground. He took his shoes off and knelt before me as I burned in that bush. In the same way, I want to burn in my people, declares God, to set them on fire. A fire that cleanses them, a fire that purifies them, a fire that makes them acceptable in my sight, a fire that literally is unquenchable, a fire that burns away sin, burns away chaff, burns away all the junk. That's why it's an all-consuming fire, because it's not just in one place, it's not just in one locality, but my fire is all-consuming. It goes everywhere. It touches every part of your being to be purged, to be cleansed. Don't limit me in your thinking. Don't restrict me from operating in your life, but allow that fire to go into every joint, to go into every outstretched hand, to fill you. For I will consume you, and yet I will not destroy you, but I will set a fire on the inside that puts fear in the enemy, for they know that fire consumes the wicked, but the fire glorifies those who come to me. The Hebrew children were thrown into the fire, and yet they were not consumed. Instead, I walked with them. And they knew me, and they knew the coolness of my presence. For even Adam walked with me in the cool of the garden. So I will walk with you. To you it shall be cool. To you it will be refreshing. To you it will be exhilarating. But to the world, all they can see is the consumption of that which is wicked. And those who hang on to that wickedness, those who hang on to the flesh, to the ungodliness, oh, the fire will burn them. But if they would come to me, the coolness of my spirit would let them walk in the fire without feeling the heat, because it will revive them and cause healing to break out among my people, declares God. So when you see the fire of God, run to it. Run to it, because it will purify you. It will cleanse you. It will lift you up. It will give you the satisfaction that the world cannot give, that the world cannot know. But my fire will feed you, and my fire will refresh you in my person, declares God. Praise you, Father. Amen. Well, let's share our favorite Bible verse together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking so far this year about 2020 being the year without measure. We've talked about how that is without measure, good and bad. And we've seen some aspects of that already this year. You know, we've seen some of the good, we've seen some of the bad, we've seen some of these things. But let me tell you. This year, your measure is determined by your faith. You can either believe the things of the world, or you can believe Christ. And whatever you choose to believe, you're going to get more. Now, sometimes that's scary, because if I know I'm not trusting in Christ, I'm going to get more trouble. But if I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm going to get more victory. I'm going to get more overcoming. It's like be unto you according to your faith. Well, if I'm the deciding point to whether I get more trouble or more overcoming, I'm going to choose overcoming. Amen? By choice. You know, I tell people, when they ask me, do you believe in a rapture? Do you believe pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? I said, by choice, I believe in pre-trib. Because if there's an early bus, I'm going to be on it. You know? It's like, why believe in mid-trib rapture and the bus comes pre-trib and you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm waiting for the next one. I'm not going to do it. You know, if it's by my choice. And faith is a choice. You choose to believe God over the circumstances. You choose to believe God in the midst of the circumstances. Amen. You know, Carrie Pickett shared in Healing University this week, and she said, most people, when trouble comes, they ask this question, God, why did you leave me? Why did you let this happen? She said, our response as believers should be, God, I thank you in the midst of this. You are with me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Isn't that awesome? And you think about it, you know, it's true. So many people, when trouble comes, because trouble will come. If you haven't had it yet, it's on its way. But praise God, in the midst of trouble, Jesus said, there am I in their midst. You know, if we believe God, he's with us in the situation. He didn't abandon us. He's there with us, fighting with us, pulling us up so we can overcome, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so faith makes you an overcomer. It actually makes, it's even better than that. Faith makes you more than an overcomer. I mean, I'm happy to overcome. When it says that Jesus makes us more than overcomers, well, that's even gooder. Amen. That's even better than just overcoming. I can overcome and then I can overcome. Hallelujah. See, the world's measure, because when you think about measure is something that's doled out to us. Measure is something that we receive. The world's measure is tit for tat. You give a little, I'll give a little bit. That's not that way with God. The measure of God is found in Jesus Christ. Now, this is really important. The measure of God is found in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, for by grace you, listen, have been, to the believer, have been saved. This is past tense. I love it. I think it's in Corinthians. He says, these sinners, these people that don't, and lists a whole bunch of stuff, he said, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And once were some of you, were, past tense. We used to be that way. We're not that way any longer. Why? We're saved. We're believers. God has come into our life. Amen. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And some people say, well, is grace or faith the gift? Yes, they both are. And we'll get into that just a little bit. We did that last week. I encourage you to get last week's message, because I don't know if I can say that again like I said it last week. But last week was really good on that. But listen, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Now listen to this. Grace does not save you. Because God has already extended grace. It's our faith in the grace that saves us. If you go and look at that in the Greek, we are saved through faith. Through is like the example that it gives in vines is that through is like a door. The doorway to get the grace of God is by faith. By faith, we enter into that door. By faith, we enter into the grace. But grace can be out there, but if you don't go through the door, the grace isn't for you. It won't work on your behalf because you've got to go through the door. Well, the door is faith. The door is I'm going through faith. I am saved through faith or by faith, but I'm saved by believing in what God has already offered to me. I'm receiving what he's already done. Amen? So let's go to John 3:34. He says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Now get this, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now this is John the Baptist. God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. He doesn't give you a little bit, and then when you get better and better, he'll give you a little bit more. And when you get real good, he'll give you a little bit more. It doesn't work like that, because as we said, Jesus is the measure. I heard Keith Moore say this morning, and it just stunned me. It was so good. He says, the faith that you have is the faith of Jesus Christ. You have the faith of the Son of God in you now. It's not growing, it's not increasing. You have the faith of God in you right now. And this is what he said that really got me. You have faith now for miracles. The faith for your miracle is already in you. We're not having to go someplace to get it. Your faith for your miracle already resides within you, because you have the faith of Christ on the inside of you. Now, there's a lot in that to unpack. I hope to unpack some of that today, but I thought that was good. He does not give the Spirit by measure. He doesn't give you a little bit of faith, and then your faith grows. I've probably preached that. This is how I heard it when it was preached to me, but at the same time, but we have the faith of God. You know, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Well, we have it because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, and he has seated us with him, Ephesians says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're seated with Christ. We know from John 14 and 16 that God lives and dwells in us and makes his home in us. And if God lives in us and we live in him, then the faith that Jesus has is already inside you. We just have to activate it. It's already there. We're not trying. This is a big one. You are Debbie's talking about this in Sunday school. We didn't coordinate these things, but it's so rich. We're trying to get faith, and we already have it. We're trying to exercise faith, and in the word of the Lord this morning about the fire of the Spirit, that fire consumes you. That fire is all over you and all through you. Now, that fire is healing to our bones. It is healing for our body. That fire is forgiveness of sins. That fire is cleansing, but it's healing as well. And we need to learn how to receive all that God has done, because we've compartmentalized God, and we've compartmentalized what God will do for us. Well, see, now Debbie has a certain day. Saturday is the day she does laundry. And if she does laundry another day of the week, it just kind of throws her off. Well, we do that with God. Sunday is the day to believe. You know, we're going to church Sunday. Sunday's the day to believe. Sunday's the day to be good. Sunday's the day to sing praise. Sunday's the day to do this. Well, what are you going to do Monday? Well, Monday's recovery from Sunday. What are you going to do Wednesday? Well, Wednesday is hump day. You just work to get through. And Friday is TGIF. You know, it's like God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He is the same. But in our minds and the way we compartmentalize God, well, I hope that maybe God will do a miracle for me on Sunday. Let me tell you a secret. He'll do it on a Monday. Sometimes a Wednesday. Thursdays are pretty good for God too. I mean, God is always on. Amen? And your faith is always on. Oh, I want to get into some things after this. I hope it all falls into place. But there's some things I want to get into. But we've got to begin to see the things of God. We've got to begin to understand the fullness of Christ in us. And this is what I want to get into. We share John 3:27 I don't think so. Go to John 3:27. It says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Now think about this. The name, one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh literally means the God who makes provision. In other words, God has seen in advance what you need and he has already made provision for it. In other words, God has already given you everything you need. Well, I don't have this. No, no, God has given you everything you need. How do you access it? Well, if you believe you don't have what you need to get something done, you won't do it. Because you're always waiting to get, well, I need this other thing. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but when something breaks down, I run to the store and I get the piece for it. And a lot of times it doesn't fit or I got the wrong size or something. So I've got to run back to the store and get that piece. And that's what we try to do with God. If I don't get it, I run back and get this. And I've got to run back and get this. I've got to run back and get this. No, no. God is Jehovah Jireh. He already knows what you need. And through the blood, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has already made provision for you for everything in your life. God did not become aware of it when you became aware. He already looked ahead. And we can see this on the cross. He died on the cross. He took all the sins forever, past, present, and future. But if you don't believe that, then you wallow in your sin. In your past sin, in your present sin, or in the sin that you're worried about that you might commit tomorrow. I mean, it's sad, but some people are planning to sin tomorrow. You know, they got it on their calendar. Tomorrow I will sin because Sunday's over. It's like, no, he's already forgiven you for it. But if you don't access it by faith, the grace that God has already extended to you, you won't receive it. And in times like that, it's like the footprints. Well, God, there were two sets of footprints. We came to this rough spot in my life, and there was only one footprint. Where were you, God? And remember the end of the story? God says, I was carrying you during that time. That's why you only saw one set of footprints. He didn't leave us. He carried us. He got us through. We're alive today because of the grace and the mercy of God. And we didn't even realize it at the time of that God was delivering us from the thing that the devil meant to destroy you. Amen. So he is Jehovah Jireh. Listen, salvation, healing, prosperity, everything we receive from God comes through grace. Grace means God has already provided what you need. This is why you can receive it by faith. Because he's already made provision. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm still hanging out in this scripture. I keep getting close to it. Today we're going to begin to get into it more. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, and you need to follow me with this in your Bible if you can. Verse 15 says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is saying, this is the prayer that I'm praying for you. And it's curious because I'll say this before I get into it. Paul didn't pray that you and I would get something new. This prayer that he is praying is he prays that we would get a revelation of what you already have. He wants you to understand what you have in Christ, who you are in Christ, and who Christ is in you. And so he prays in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, listen, in the knowledge of him. Now, a lot of times we as believers, we're praying for a spirit of wisdom. We're praying for a spirit of revelation. But we don't know what God's trying to reveal to us. We don't know what we need to understand. We don't know it's the knowledge of God. Now, you already have, because you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you and Jesus lives in you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring up to your remembrance everything that I said. In other words, you have the Bible encoded into you now by the Holy Ghost. You know, we read that and it's not totally improper that if you read the Word, the Holy Spirit will bring the Word back up to you. That's true. But to go even deeper, Paul is writing the New Testament by the Spirit of the living God, and he is giving us fresh revelation of Old Testament scriptures. He's bringing out new understanding of what was said in the prophets to the Jews. So he's bringing out of the old something new, revealing it to us. Well, how did Paul know this stuff? Oh, he was a great student. He studied under Gamaliel. He was this person. Wherever Paul went, he took books. Yeah, he did all those things, and that was wonderful, fantastic. But Paul says, I didn't learn this from men. The Holy Spirit taught me these things. Well, how did he learn things that nobody had ever seen before? Because the Holy Spirit gave him revelation of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something. You have that same knowledge on the inside of you. That's when you read Scripture, you go, yeah, I know that. How do I know it? I've never heard that preached. But it'll come alive on the inside of you because it resonates that the Spirit in you is giving you witness that that is true, because that wisdom, that spirit of revelation, is already on the inside of you. And so when you read it, it stirs it up. It's why when you hear things preached, sometimes you go, ew, yuck, tooey. You know, you just want to spit it out. And other things like, oh, I want that to be true. That is the Holy Ghost bearing witness in you, because you already have the knowledge on the inside of you, but because of the tradition of men, you don't dare say it or believe it. Because if you believe some of these things, old things have passed away and all things have become new in Jesus Christ, that the Son of the living God lives on the inside of me. You say that in some circles, ooh, blasphemy. You know, and they'll throw you out of the church. Healing has passed away. How dare you say God wants you healed? But yet when you read it in the Scripture or you hear a preacher preaching it, on the inside of you, you go, yes. And it strengthens your determination. Okay? And we know that because we've all experienced here. Even sinners experience that. Unborn again people, they know, they sense the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's already on the inside of them, but it's not in their spirit yet. Well, it's in their dead spirit, because God gives witness to every human being. But boy, when you're born again and the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you, oh, yeah, this is right. And you agree with it, but you don't dare tell anybody. We've had people come up to us, says, you know, when I pray, these strange words come out of my mouth, and I don't know what they are. Is that okay? You say, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. It is? Yeah, it is. Well, I didn't know if it was right, but it felt good. It felt right. But they can't say that in their church, because they'll get the left foot of fellowship. They'll get thrown out of the church because we don't believe in that stuff here. Well, that's why it doesn't work there. You know, if you believe healing has passed away, guess what? You're probably not going to get healed. If you believe that healing has passed you over, guess what? You probably won't get healed. I'll go one step further. If you think healing is dependent upon you being perfect, you probably won't get healed. Because, see, our healing is a gift of God. And we get healed because we believe and receive what God has already provided, instead of trying to earn it by our good works. Because if it's by your works, it's not by grace. And if it's not by grace, it's not by faith. Because faith operates on what God has already given to you that you don't yet see. That's why we say that faith is calling forth and speaking those things that are not as though they are. Because in faith, we can see what God has already provided for us, and we're speaking what we believe and what we can see that God has provided, even though we don't see the reality of it right now. That's why 2 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter, by his stripes we were healed. Why? Because I was healed when Jesus died on the cross. He was made to be all sickness, all sin, all disease, all worry, all anxiety. All of that was laid on Jesus on the cross. So why should I worry if he's taken it all away? Why should I be in fear if God has destroyed the spirit of fear? See, when you begin to look at things like this, like, what, me worry? No. Why? Because Jesus has already carried it. Jesus has already made provision. By faith, I am receiving what Jesus has already done. Amen. So in 17, he says, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge or in the understanding of God. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know the hope. Know the hope. Now, I won't get into this today, but let me throw you out a nugget. Hope is another word for imagination. In your imagination, you see things happening to you. You know, people won't go out and drive in the snow because in their imagination, they see them going off the road every time. We had a teacher that did that in Oklahoma. We only got 2 snows a year. You know, we'd get maybe a 2-inch, then we'd get a 1/4 inch. And we had this one teacher every single year when it snowed. She went off the road into a ditch on the way to school every single year. You could count on it. If the ground's white, she's in the ditch. And on your way to school, she'd be in the ditch. Why? Her imagination told her. See, she saw it happening before it was. She called things that were not, that she didn't want to happen, she called them into existence before it actually happened. And because she walked by faith that she was going to go off the road at that spot, every single year she went off the road at that spot. You could predict it. It was better than a weather forecast. I mean, it's just, we knew it was going to happen. So your hope is a vision, is a sight of what you see yourself becoming or what you see yourself doing. Now, it's usually used in a negative situation, but here in verse 18, I want to get it right, it says that you would know what is the hope or the imagination of his calling. See, God has set in you an imagination. He's set in you a desire on the inside to be someone, not necessarily to do something, but to be someone. He set that imagination on the inside, and he wants you to know that imagination that God has for you, because when you begin to see what God has imagined for you, you'll start receiving it. You'll start looking, yeah, that could be me. I could see myself doing that. You know, some people can see themselves driving a nice car, living in a nice home. Other people can't see it. Other people see where they are right now. This is as far as I'm going to get. This is as good as it's ever going to be. They have no hope of the future. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when you can see something on the inside of you and your imagination tells you it'll never work for you, you get depressed, you get moody, you get cranky because you don't see the things coming to pass because you can't see it for you. He prays that you would know the hope of his calling, that you would get the imagination of God on the inside of you, that you would begin to walk in what God has imagined for you. Proverbs tells us that every child in the womb that God has placed within them a calling. Everyone is unique. And it seems like this world in the natural wants to drive that out of your life. Well, I'll never get a good man. I'll never find a good woman. I'll never get this. I'll never be able to hold on to a job. I can't learn anything. Those are all imaginations. And the Bible says we're to cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge or the knowing of God. And see, God wants you to know him so you can cast down the imaginations that come against the imaginations that God has for you. God has dreams for you. I like it in is it Isaiah where he says old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions? Joel. And part of the problem when you get older, it's harder to dream. Because your dream has been replaced with, well, you're 40 now. Well, when I hit 40, I started going into a little bit of depression. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, Gordon, you're going to live to be 85. You've got more. He didn't give a certain age. He said, at 85, you're going to die. No, but he said, you're going to live to be at least 85. And it hit me, my lightning fast mind. 20 years of my first 40 years, I don't even remember. You know, at least 18 of them. I don't have a clue. And I went to college, so I was probably 21 years old before I remembered anything of any substance. You know, and it's like, I've got 40 more years. I've just spent the best 20 years of my life. I've got another 40 years. I can get better. So I got over depression in about half a minute. I mean, it was. But you've got to have a hope. If you don't have a hope, you're going to get sucked into the vortex, as I call it. You're going to get sucked into the black hole. Oh, I can never get out of here. Well, if that be it unto you according to your faith. If you think it's not going to work for you, it won't work for you. But if you get a hold of the hope of God, get a hold of God's imaginations, all things are possible for him who believes. You're not too old. Did you hear that? You're not too old. You're not over the hill. Oh, some of you should get more excited than that. Your best years are not behind you. They're ahead of you. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're all believing for it. Praise God. So still in verse 18, that he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has riches on the inside of you, and these riches are your inheritance. The riches of the glory of his. See, it's his inheritance that he has placed in you. It's like the New Testament is the will of God. You only write a will when you're dead. And when you're dead, you write a will to disseminate all of your possessions to other people. So Jesus died, so he gave us a New Testament. And he said, this is my inheritance that I'm passing on to you. Remember in John, he said, Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before. That was Jesus' inheritance. He's passed that inheritance on to you. New Testament. Whatever Jesus had, he's passed on to you. That you would know the hope or know his inheritance, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's in us now. We've inherited. We're not going to. We have inherited. Now, when you die, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be wonderful and you're going to get rid of sin and you're going to get rid of all the junk and the stupid things that cling to us in this life. But you've already inherited, because if you haven't inherited it now, when you die, you're not going to go to heaven. Is that plain? If you haven't inherited now, when you die, you will go to hell. So you've got to inherit it now, or you're not going to live forever with the Lord. Amen? So if I've inherited now, why wait another 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years to get what you've already inherited? It's my inheritance. I want it now. Amen. I want it now. I don't want to wait. But see, the devil, well, you just keep putting it off. Just keep putting it off because you don't deserve it. You're not worthy. Well, I already know I am. That's why it's by grace. That's why it's by grace. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's already seen the spot I'm in. He has already made provision. I'm just going to renew my imagination. I'm going to get the mind of Christ, and I'm going to walk after him and pursue him, and I'll get those things in my life now because it's my inheritance. It belongs to me. See, I forget who said this years ago. He said, even when you're sick, we see ourselves as someone sick trying to get healing. In other words, I've got to go somewhere to get it. But if I see myself as the healed, then the healing is already in me. If I have to go somewhere to get my healing, something can interfere with that because it's not mine. But if I understand that I am the healed and I am resisting sickness, well, then I don't have to go anywhere to get healing because healing is already in me. It already belongs to me. It's mine. Now, I got to figure out how to tap into it. Well, you tap into it by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you need healing, you don't need to read about prosperity. Prosperity will be good. Prosperity will be nice. Your soul can still prosper. But you need to activate your faith on healing. You need, and we don't do that. If you want something, those are the scriptures you need to look up. Those are the things you need to study now to build those things on the inside of you. You're not building them into your spirit. You're building them into your soul. You're changing the way that you think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, finish it with me, so is he in this life. So if I want different results, I've got to think differently than what I'm thinking right now. If I want God to move in my life, I've got to begin to think he wants to move in my life. He's not upset with me. He's not angry with me. He's not saying, oh, I saw what you did the other day. What am I going to do with you? He doesn't worry. He looks at you and sees Jesus Christ. You look in the mirror and see your outside body. You see your flesh. God sees you by the Spirit. He knows you by the Spirit. And what God sees in you is a reflection of himself. Now, that'll kink up some of you. God sees himself on the inside of you. Why? Because he knows you by the Spirit. And your spirit man is born again in the same image of God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And behold, all things are now of God. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes. He sees the glory of himself. He looks at you and says, ooh, I like what I see. We look in the mirror and we see every imperfection, every hair that's out of place, every mole, every freckle. We see every, and we say, well, how can anybody love someone like me? God can. Amen. Because God loves you because of who he is, not who you were. Okay. Are we to 19 yet? Are we ready to go there? Because I like 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of, listen, his power toward us who believe? Now, normally we think about what is the exceeding greatness of his power that we can work and we can do and the power that is within us, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's his power. It's not our power. It's not our ability, it's his power at work within us. What is the exceeding, this? He wants us to know this, the exceeding greatness. Now, exceeding means a whole lot more than what you need, okay? Exceeding greatness. It'd be great if we just knew the greatness of God's power. Oh, Lord, man, you threw the heavens, the universe, the planets, you created gravity, you created light, all these marvelous things. Oh, God, you are so great. Well, that's true, but then it's exceeding. It's even more than that. I mean, if we think that God used up all of his strength creating the heavens and the universes and the stars and the planets, God is exceeding beyond that. But then, it's not about what God did out there. Now listen, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Toward us. How do we know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Look at the cross. You've got to go back to the cross. Jesus died being made sin with your sin. Why? So you could be free of it. That's exceeding. That's exceeding. I in my feeble mind, I could think that if I sinned, like the Jewish sacrificial system, if I sinned, I could take a sacrifice to the altar, and I could say, Charlie, please accept this sacrifice for me, and offer it up with all the due diligence and everything, and maybe God will forgive me. Well, see, that would be great if God would forgive me for my individual sin. Exceeding greatness is Jehovah Jireh. I saw you sinning before you knew you would sin, and I've already forgiven you. Now, that is humbling. Because the only response I can have to that is of faith, is thank you, Jesus. That's the only response I can have. Because I know I don't deserve it. Amen. I know what I did was an affront to God. In gossip, I'll get real tight. Overeating. On anything, it's a sin. It's an affront to God. But listen, God has already forgiven you of it. And his exceeding greatness, not only did he forgive you, he cleansed you of all unrighteousness. And all I can say is, thank you, Jesus, because I had nothing to do with it, but he has already made provision for it. Amen? Are you understanding this? Are you beginning to get a hold of this? We walk around in guilt and condemnation when God says, why are you hanging your head down? I've already set you free. I've already forgiven you. I've already cleansed you. I've already healed you. I've already made you prosperous. I've already blessed you. Oh, Ephesians 1:3, I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What does that cover? Everything. Every blessing. Okay. Still in verse 19. And what is the exceeding, that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, now get this, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. This is the power. This is the example he gives to us about power. See, now, Paul is, oh man, because we don't know what God has done, we are constantly asking him to do what he has already done. We ask God to give us something we already have. That's why many of our prayers are ineffective. Because we're asking God for something he's already given to you. Well, how can he? I'm trying to be good with this. It's because we don't believe that he gave it to us, so we've got to ask him to give it to us. And what that is a denial of what God has already done. Because God, it wasn't enough that Jesus died on the cross for me 2,000 years ago. There's one area of my life where Jesus has to go back to the cross and die again so that he can cover this sin, this mistake, this thing that I need from you. And God says, I can't have him go back. He died once for all. See, the Bible even tells us it's appointed once for every man to die. Jesus has died. He's not going to do it again. Now, this answers a science fiction story that on every planet, Mormons believe this, that every planet Jesus goes to and he dies again for the sins of that planet. No, he once for all. Because it's appointed for every man to die once. Not over and over and over again. That's why reincarnation is wrong. That's why all these different things are wrong, because Jesus did it once for all time, and it covered for all things. Amen? Oh, how this exceeding greatness of God. But we've got to understand that we're so often our prayers are, we're asking God to do something he has already done, and that's why we don't receive it, because we're waiting for God to do something new, something different, something unique, and he's already done it. We're asking for angels to appear, and God says, I've already said it in my word. Oh, but God, send me an angel. Why do you need an angel when you refuse to believe the word of God? Are you going to believe an angel more? Probably not. Because you've already rejected the word of God. That's why Paul prays in 17 to 19 that the glory of the Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us belief. And in verses 19 and 20, it's showing you the grace that God has already extended toward us. Which in verse 19, let me read that again. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above, 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the grace that God has given to us. It's exemplified through Jesus Christ. It's revealed through the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the seating, the granting of all authority to Jesus in heaven and on earth. This is the grace that he has given to us. And then he says he's put everything under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church. Now, listen, you're the church. You're the church. Well, the church is a conglomerate. The church is all these people. Yeah. But listen, if you were the only person saved, you would be the church. You would be it. If nobody else believed, If it was only you that showed up to church on Sunday morning, you would be the church. And he's given Jesus to be the head of the church, which is all of his fullness in the church. See, I can take that personally. Yes, it's for all of us. It's corporate, but that's for me. I am the church, and he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the church, which is I, which is me. Amen? Oh, God, please do something. What more is he going to do? What more can he do but what he's already done in us? Amen? And for us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And this is from the Easy English Bible. I love this. Let me give it to you I didn't give this to Stephen, but 1 Corinthians 1:20, I'll give it to you in the New King James real quick. Oh, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Stephen's going up there. I don't have 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For all the promises of God in him," in Jesus, "are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." Now, here's how the Easy English Bible translates that. Everything that God has promised becomes yes because of Christ. That is why by Christ we can thank God. By him we can agree that all God's promises are true. Isn't that awesome? And we can say how very great and good God is. See, in Christ it has been shown to us every promise of God is true. See, faith again receives what God has already done. Faith says yes and amen to the promises of God. When you read that promise, faith says, yes, amen, that's for me. Yes, amen, I receive that. Yes, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because it's not by me, it's by grace. It's not a reward for me doing the right things. It's the grace that God has already given to me, and faith says yes and amen. Because Christ dwells in us, the faith of Jesus also dwells within us. Now listen to this. This faith, knowing that Jesus is in you, this faith speaks this way: I and the Father are one. You know what Jesus said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's saying, me and God are one. And so when every promise of the Scripture belongs to you and is true and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, faith speaks this way. We could go to Romans 10 on this. He says, how does faith speak? Does faith say, well, who's going to go up to heaven and get what I need and bring it down to me? Neither does faith say, who's going to go down to the depths of the earth and pull up what I need? No, it says, faith says this: the word of God is within me. It is nigh upon me. It is in my heart and in my mouth, the words that I speak. So what does faith say? When you read it, faith says, me and God are one. Now see, that's blasphemy. Understand, you are not God. Thank you, Jesus. I am not God. I am not becoming a God. I am not going to have my own planet and through celestial sex fill it with people and have my little creation story happen. It's not going to happen. But through the power of Jesus Christ, he lives in me and I live in him. So when I read the promises of God, I can say, I and God are one. See, when you see that what's possible for God is possible for you because God lives in us and because of his grace extended toward us, things are a lot easier to receive from God. Because you realize, it's not me. It is not what I have done. It's not because I'm super smart. It's not because of anything like that. I deserve absolutely nothing. That's why it's by grace. And a response of faith to grace: thank you, Lord. If he did it for one, he'll do it for me. I'll close with this thought. I said it earlier with Keith Moore. He said it this morning, so I'm just quoting him. He said, right now you have faith for a miracle. You have faith for your miracle. You have faith. Why? Jesus lives on the inside of you. When we renew our minds to that, all of a sudden it'll come, I've got faith for this. It's not, well, Linda, you better pray for me today because I don't know my faith is strong enough. Well, there's nothing wrong with agreement. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We get stronger and stronger and stronger. But if I am depending upon Linda to pray for me, then where's my faith? My faith is that your faith is working really good. So therefore, if it doesn't work, your faith failed, not mine. Yeah, I'm saving my faith for really important things. No. You never run out of faith. Isn't this good? Oh, my. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It just, to just think about, I have already, right now, all the faith I need for every situation. It's already mine. I'm not going somewhere to get it. I can develop it because I'm working to renew my mind of the faith that I have, but I've got to start out that what Jesus has belongs to me now in the new birth, and the faith that he has, I have the same faith on the inside of me, but I've got to have the mind of Christ too, that he didn't think it robbery to be called equal with God. See, as long as I think I'm stealing from God or I'm waiting for the religious body to smack me down, If I'm not thinking that way, it's like, God lives in me. I live in him. There's no barrier. There's no sin. There's no separation. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Oh, all things work together for him who believes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father God, we give you praise for who you are and God, what you have done. And Father, I pray along with Paul, God, I pray for our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling in us and the riches of your glory in us, Father, that we may know the exceeding greatness of your power toward us because we believe according to the working, not of our works, according to the working of Christ on the cross at Calvary and your work in him to raise him from the dead and to seat him at your right hand, giving him all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. And Father, he told us, go forth in my name, go forth in my authority. He's transferred that authority to us. And Father, we thank you that what we bind is bound and what we loose is loosed. And Lord, we bind the devil and his operations from off of our lives. Father, we loose the power of the Holy Spirit to hover around us. Father, to bear us up on wings so we won't stumble and we won't get bruised feet. Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that lives and dwells within us because Christ lives in us. And we thank you, Father, all things work to good for us because we believe. Not all the things in the world, they're out to steal and kill and destroy. But God, you are with us in the midst of all of it. And what you have done for us always works to our good and our benefit because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. For this, Father, we give you praise and honor this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.